What's tomorrow?
Wales.
Oh, I love how many flights do you have?
About 85.
No way.
Yep. Plus holiday flags. It's one of those things that just grew.
Okay, we have both recorders on, just so y'all know. Okay, so we have the recorders on, and I'm wondering if you would, one of you two, say and spell your first and last names.
Well, I am Gary Minshew, G-A-R-Y, M-I-N-S-H-U-L-L.
And who's that fun-loving, cute girl in the corner over there?
I'm Lorraine Mitchell, L-O-R-R-A-I-N-E-M-I-N-S-H-U-L-L.
Now, this next question might be a bit private, but do you guys mind sharing your birth dates and how you two are related to each other?
My birthday is October 26, 1938, and I am married to Gary Mitchell for 62 years.
Well, I've been married to her for the same amount of time.
And what's your birthday?
Oh, it's September 5. 1937.
Sir Dan.
Could you tell us where we are?
Oh, okay. We'll get into the flow of this thing, I'm sure. Well, we're in Bothell. Actually, we're on the south... or the east sides, yeah, kind of southeast side of Bothell, up against Kirkland.
So, since this is a Duval Historical Society interview, what are we doing in Bothell? How did we get here?
That's my question.
We married in Duval. He went to Seattle Pacific College, and then we went to Oregon for seminary, moved back to Eastern Oregon, pastor and church, and then we moved back here in this area. We moved to Port Townsend for 14 years, and then we moved back over here. So where we live now is about 15 miles from Duval, I think.
Well, in that moving, actually, we lived in the old Duval School.
So we're talking about the Cherry Valley School.
Yes.
The old school.
Where my folks went to high school.
And my mom as well.
So where's this Cherry Valley School we're talking about?
It is now apartments, an apartment building, right across the driveway from the present elementary school.
So, Gary, you're telling me that you grew up in Duval?
Yes, ma'am.
Born and raised?
Yes.
So then let me ask you how your parents got to Duval, to get you to Duval.
Well, my mother's mother and father lived, now...
In Seattle. They lived in Seattle, and then in the early 30s, they built a house on the south edge of Duval. It's in the city limits now, but it wasn't then. And his mother was a one and only, And one of her aunts was married to a man in Duval, Alva Miller. And so during the week, a lot of her high school years, she lived with them during the week and then would see her folks on the weekend.
Wow.
So Alva Miller is a known person in the Duval history. Some people call him Alvy Miller, and his brother Harry Miller lived down on the River Road. And May Herman, who was married to Albert Herman, was their sister. So three siblings lived in that area.
But they started their logistically on the hill near the grade school, or the Cherry Valley School. Yes?
They didn't live there. I mean, they didn't live in that location.
Okay.
No, my dad...
On the other end of town, the south side.
Yeah. My dad lived on the road, on the hillside, above the road to Monroe, and I don't know that there's a name for the street. There certainly wasn't at the time, but the when the wooden bridge from Duval going west or towards Monroe was removed, why that bridge was replaced by a fill.
Are you talking about across the valley?
Across the valley,
and going
towards Monroe.
No.
Woodinville.
Going west goes to Woodinville. Going north goes to Monroe.
Well, okay, yeah, going north towards Monroe. My dad's mother and father lived on the hillside there, and so they, my dad would and siblings would go down to the railroad there nearby. It parallels the road out of out of Duval that I just mentioned, and there was a little place, I can't remember the name of it, I may before I'm through, but they would wait at this little station, and I'm not sure if the train stopped or whether they just
got
on as the train was moving. Why would the train stop for two or three kids? Anyway, so they would ride the train to Duval and then walk up to where the school was, the high school or grade school, and that's, I'm sure, where my dad and my mother met then.
In school.
In school.
At Cherry Valley.
Cherry Valley.
And what years are we talking?
She graduated, he was born in 14. So, and she was born in 16. My mom graduated in 35, so she probably graduated in 34.
From Cherry Valley.
From Cherry Valley. And he would have been 2 years before that, graduated.
Yeah. And Gary, what was your father and mother's name?
My dad's name was Lee Mitchell, and my mother was Helen.
Her maiden name was Weber.
Weber, yes.
So her parents, William and Martha Weber, moved from Seattle when they built the house out there. And the house is still there.
Really?
Yeah. It's been sold and resold and remodeled. It's quite nice. No.
So Gary's mother was raised adolescence to adulthood in the town of Duval. Do you remember where your mother's house was built in Duval? Any street names by chance?
We just drove by it when we went out there a week ago to look at the flood water. I can't tell you the name, but down at the bottom of the hill is a house his family used to live in, and it's all boarded up now, and there's a construction trailer sitting beside it. It's that street. And my brother lives on the next street, and his street is 143rd. This is the last street before the hole, before you get out there safely, out to that area.
But the question is,
I don't know the name of the street.
What year was the Weber house, my grandpa and grandma's house, built?
Probably 32, around that.
So it's the street before 143rd,
mm-hmm.
is where your mother was raised.
Yes, yes.
Probably not till she was in high school.
High school. Dan, do you have any questions or want
to? What was your most interesting experience living in Duval?
Dan, I have several fond memories. My life has been taken up a lot with the building or fixing of things, and so I was just making
up your own fun.
I was making my own playhouses,
workshop
with lofts, a gable roof over, so that I gave my sisters the lower level main floor, and there was a ladder that went up to the loft, which would be under the gable roof, and that was my part of the place. And then every spring, I looked forward to going down below the highway, and that would be highway, now it's 203.
He built that when he was 11.
Oh my goodness.
So do you know Diana Collins?
Yes.
Well, her mom is one of the ones, one of the girls.
Arlene.
Yep.
So we have Gary on the left side of this picture, and Arlene Davidson.
And the dog Jinx.
Sharon Roegland is the other sister.
Roegland?
Roegland.
Mm-hmm. Wow. That's amazing. You built this.
Yep.
And then down below the highway, 203, and this would have been on Otis Thayer's property, but there was a little wet weather creek that had water in it when in the spring, and my kick in the pants was to dam that creek up every spring, and then I would build a raft on that I could just go around the pond on this raft. But it would get washed out then every winter. The next winter, sometime during the winter, it'd get washed out. So then the next spring again, I would dam it up. So that was my fun.
Who were your playmates, other than your sisters?
Well, You know, that's an interesting question, and I've thought about that several times, just wondering what effect the fact that I hardly ever had any neighbors out there, at least neighbors that had kids that I could play with, for maybe a year or a year and a half, there was a family down at the bottom of our driveway, and I don't know what the number of the street is. 143rd
is Dan Street.
Is the street south, but yeah. The one closer to Duval, it's right under the pole line. But anyway, there was a family that lived there by the name of Coons. I think it was just C-O-O-N-S. Anyway, they had three or four boys, and so we probably got into trouble, but I don't remember any repercussions from our trouble time. We played kick the can a lot.
And tell me what kick the can is.
Oh, well, let's see. It's been a long time since I played kick the can, but...
Does everybody go hide?
Everybody goes to hide, and then there's one person that guards the can. And when the person guarding the can spots somebody that's trying to sneak in to kick the can, which frees everybody. If the guard of the can spots someone, then they say, "Over the can for," and then they name the person that they saw. So that person is just out of the game. And if the person guarding the can get everybody, why, let's see, I don't remember now, then who is the next, who gets to guard the can next. But if somebody can sneak in and kick the can before the guard of the can catch them, why then that person has to do it again.
They have to be the guard again.
They have to be the guard again.
I've never played kick the can, so I don't know.
That's a pretty good explanation, I must say.
Maybe a little bit like capture the flag.
Right.
I don't know.
Yeah.
I never played that either.
So then, you guys have been married 62 years, and you had mentioned, Lorraine, that your brother lives in Duval. So that must mean that you have once lived in Duval?
Oh, yes. Our property bordered the school property, where the old school was. And when I was in second grade, my mother started working out, away from home, because my dad got polio in his shoulders, and he couldn't work for a year. So I think it was after she started working, often, we didn't head for school until the bell rang. And then we ran like crazy because we lived so close. And we lived there.
So what was your maiden name?
Wayne Scott.
Okay, so you're Wayne Scott. And your parents, what were their names?
Hansel and Alta Wayne Scott. My dad was from Indiana. He moved out here for work, and he was a milk tester. And so in those days, a milk tester went from farm to take samples to test for butterfat. And my mother was the farmer's daughter. That's how we met her, down on the river road.
West Snoqualmie River Road? So where?
Well, the only river road up that comes, you know, when you start west across the valley, and go down the right approach and down that
okay.
way. Well, on the same road where your grandparents lived.
Yes. So your mother was a hermit. Yes?
My mother was a funk.
A funk.
Pearl and William Funk were her parents.
Okay.
And I think my grandpa had cows, lived down there. And she was, when she knew my dad was coming, she always baked something special. When they got married, she was 19, and he was just about 27.
First marriage for your father?
Yes.
Yeah. Wow. Cookies did it.
Yes, they did.
So, I've heard some dominant names. Wayne Scott, Funk, Davidsons, Minshall. How do I pronounce?
Minshall.
And then you had also mentioned Trim. Is that?
Elnora Trim was my mother's sister. So she was a funk.
Okay.
Yeah. The Trim family lived way up in Cherry Gardens, mostly. Yeah. And I'm not sure how they met. She got married when she was like 17, I think. So she never finished school.
Really?
Elnora?
Yes, Elnora.
So then, I remember the Funks rented the farm from my great-grandparents. I'm assuming that was your mother.
Now see, there was Roy Funk. That was my mom's brother. And they lived down on one of the farms there on the River Road several years, too.
How about a Dorothy?
That's Roy's wife.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. Okay. And she was a hermit. So she was a sister to Art Hermit. Art and Albert
yep.
Hermit. Yes.
Okay. That makes sense. Okay. It does to me.
It's kind of a little spider web, isn't it?
I hear that we're all related in Duval somehow.
Well, I don't know how important this is, but before we get too much farther away, when the Cherry Valley School that was built way long ago was abandoned because of the current current elementary school next door, the school district sold the old school and a little bit of property to her dad.
My dad bought some property, I think, from Uncle Everett. And the school needed that for playground back behind the new school. So he traded that piece to the district for the old school building.
Oh.
Yeah.
That makes sense.
Yeah. Where there are now, and her dad, well, I helped her dad.
My brothers did too. Tore the whole top off.
Tore off the top floor.
Where we used to play. Because there were two big classrooms up there in the top of the school that they didn't use. Maybe used when it was high school, but and then up a few steps was another little room where they put the old school books. And several of us girls had our own little group, and we'd go up there and sit and talk and look through the old books and just kind of poke around.
Oh, fun. Nobody. So it was a three-story building when it was a school. I want to call it an elementary, but it was all grades.
Yes, it was.
So
it wasn't ever a high school when we went there. The high school had already moved to Carnation.
Yes.
And, okay. And actually, I think the high school was back part of the building. Kind of two rooms on the south side of the building. So I don't think they tore that part off of the school building that had been a high school.
So
those two back rooms are probably the high school rooms.
Your dad, Wayne Scott, gets the building. Gary and all these guys decide.
My two brothers, yeah.
Two brothers. And your brothers, can you give me their names?
Jerry Wayne Scott.
Okay.
And Stanley Wayne Scott.
And Stanley Wayne Scott. So, what was their idea behind taking off that third story?
It was probably just too much building for what my dad had in mind to make apartments into the building. I think he just didn't want to go up that much higher and redo that top story.
And when would you guys say, what decade, what time frame did the school district trade the land for land and you guys started turning it into an apartment?
In the 50s, probably early 50s.
Well, it's just right at the transition when...
Were we married when you helped him on that?
I'm not certain about that. But it certainly was when all the kids moved out of the old school and into the new school. It was...
Probably soon after that.
Soon after that.
Well, let me tell you... When we were in the grade school, we had two custodians, and they were both as bus drivers as well. Rex Hendy and Ridge.
Paul Ridge.
What's Paul his name?
Yeah.
But at least part of the time when we were in school, if a kid had to be disciplined and spanked, they sent him to the custodians.
Now, what about, is this the same time frame like Mr. McCormick, Margaret McCormick, she was a teacher? Because I heard he was a custodian as well, and that's how they met. Does that ring a bell?
See, I don't know about that, because she was an older woman. When we were in school, wasn't
okay.
She? She lived to like 103 or something like that, you know?
Yeah.
And she's been gone several years, so... And then when they built a new school, she was still teaching because he was a custodian there for two or three years at the new school. And I remember him making special things for her classroom. She just thought he could do no wrong. Oh, my goodness sakes.
Gary, did kids get sent to you for discipline?
No, that policy changed somehow or other.
Mr. Weaver probably took care of it. He
yeah.
was the principal.
Yeah.
Harry yeah. Weaver was my principal. No way.
Now, wait a minute. Mr. Weaver that was the principal... What was his first name? Harry Weaver was a brother. Was he a brother? No, he wasn't. I was thinking he was related to the Trollsons.
Hold it. Harry Weaver used to walk. Didn't he work at Lampert's Meats?
Yes, he did.
My principal was Migdal. Harry Weaver worked at Lampert's Meats.
Yes, he did. And he lived in a little, like a cabin building, right down the driveway, my folks' driveway, right off to the side of the driveway. And I think Edith Trollson kind of took on responsibility for him. He was just an odd man, and my mom would periodically take faked things over to him, or she kind of watched out for him. Mm-hmm. Yeah, it was an interesting relationship there. She just kind of guarded, you know, sort of what was going on with him.
So then, how did you guys meet? I mean, you're obviously both a couple years apart, 1 year apart?
1 year, yeah.
And you're both going to Cherry Valley.
Yeah.
And what
and
did it?
And then we both went to Folt High School. And when I was 15, I think. Anyway, one day on the school bus, I wasn't sitting with him, but I was sitting in a seat next or crossed, and I always wore my hair short, and he made some comment about he liked short hair. I went, ooh, so I went home and cut it short. I cut it, it was probably that long on top, because my hair was kind of curly, so a little shorter didn't make that much difference. But, and it wasn't all that long after that, he sat with me on the school bus. And one of the girls, who we were good friends with their family, when she got off the bus that day, she was crying because he sat with me. So mostly, I mean, we started anytime we did an activity, it was usually with the church youth group at that point.
And what grade do you think he sat beside you on the school bus?
Well, I was probably 15, so I would have been sophomore, junior, sophomore.
You're right in there.
Yeah.
And the church activities, Duval Reformed Christian or Methodist Church or
the
Catholic?
The Duval Methodist Church.
Okay.
Yeah. We had roller skating parties fairly often, it seemed like.
Yeah. But if you could see, well, even our wedding picture, and just look at her, I mean, a guy would be crazy not to want to sit with her on the bus or any place.
Hold it. Now, we've seen your little house you built. Where's the wedding photos? Do we have a close-by wedding photo?
It's on the board there in the hall, isn't it?
I want to see how short her hair is in the wedding photo.
And it was quite dark. Maybe it was even black.
The frame kind of doesn't do this justice, but there we are.
Wow. Okay, so what's the heritage? What's Irish, German?
Oh,
quite a lot of German.
Yeah?
And the Mitchells are pretty much English.
There's a place in England by the name of Church Minchell. My son?
Yep, our son has been there, and Arlene's son, Dwayne, took Arlene and went there, I don't know, in the last 2 years.
Wow.
Yes. So, his mom always said the Mitchells were related to George Washington's family in England. That's all I know.
That goes
but most of us could say that, you know? That we go back connected with somebody that in history like that. So.
Absolutely.
Well, I have on Facebook is a, he has to be a cousin of my dad's, because his name is Wayne Scott, and he lives in Indiana. And I still haven't really been able to connect with him, but I looked at his picture and I went, oh my goodness, he looks like a combination of my dad's brother and George Bush. Oh, I was just shocked. And I said to our daughter, well, I showed her the picture, and she said, well, Mom, back however many generations, we are related to George Bush. Oh, my heavens. So, you know. Oh, dear. Tell them about your little workshop you built that you spent Saturdays in and made your own breakfast and...
A different workshop than what's here?
Yeah, it was just a little building with a little built-in
I hardly did
bed.
Anything in this thing, but in the Weber house, now, after probably Grandpa and Grandma Weber were both dead, my folks, well, our family moved into the Weber house. We had been living in another house just 100 feet away that...
Your grandpa was gone, but your folks built the little house next door for Grandma to live in.
Oh, that's right. That's right.
Well, it was way before then.
That's right. So my folks built a little house for Grandma, and then we moved into their house. Well, the basement was unfinished. So I took it upon myself because, as I said, I'm a guy that does things with my hands, and so I built a little workshop and kind of incorporated a place for a bed and a dresser, and so...
A bed and a stove.
No stove.
Yes, because you made your own breakfast out there.
No, you're talking about something else.
I think you lived in the house down below when you made that, because you were way younger. You were in grade school.
Well,
oh, no, wait a minute.
There was a furnace in the basement.
Where was it you made trucks? Wooden trucks?
Well, in this workshop.
In the basement?
In the basement.
Okay.
Yeah. So I made model trucks basically to a scale of 1 inch equals a foot. So truck is 7 feet wide or so wide. That's how wide, 7 inches the truck was wide, and the trucks were about this long.
The truck and a trailer.
The tractor and a semi-trailer. And
you were in high school then, because the last one he made, he sold to a classmate in high school.
Yeah.
Who wanted to give it to his cousin, I think, for a gift, and it even had lights on it that worked, and
no way.
Steer, oh yeah.
The front wheels would, you could steer it, and it had headlights and clearance lights, yeah.
So, when you're saying a truck and trailer, was this a log truck, or a...
Like a semi-trailer.
Mostly
a closed
it was
trailer.
A closed trailer, okay.
Yeah,
a
freight.
Freight trailer.
Freight kind of trailer.
So are you still into woodworking today?
Not like that.
No, I've just installed kitchen cabinets and baseboard and doors and trim and that sort of thing now. I'm too old for that now.
That's still an art.
Well, we had this house moved here from Kirkland.
Oh,
so
really?
He built the whole basement under this house.
Really?
Yeah.
You had this house moved from Kirkland?
Mm-hmm.
And that
in the middle of the night.
Really? Is that because it was more economical to move a house than build a house?
Well, I got the house for free to start with, so it just cost me
about $13,000 to have it moved.
The moving.
And we had already bought the lot. So we had it dug out for a basement. And when you have a house moved, it has three sets of big sets of wheels, two in the back and one in the front. So it's like pulling a tricycle. So you can turn like that. So we came from Kirkland. They were redoing this whole street. And anyway, we had to go toward Tuolumne Lake and over and back down. And he just came in, drove over the sidewalk, down in the hole, pulled the house right with him, and left the truck to hook up for a couple of days. But then they came and put cribbing, big piles of wood like this to hold the house up,
uh-huh.
and then took the truck loose. So it took him 2 years to make the basement because he was working full time. And then doing the basement every night and on Saturdays.
She would bring me supper. I would gobble it down and go back to work till dark.
And it's a beautiful house. This is amazing.
Well, we call it a grandma-grandpa house. It just fits us. I said, I don't need anything fancy, but I want a front porch and I want a clothesline on the back. And I've got them both, so.
We're happy great. Wife, happy life.
That's
there
right.
you go.
So let's go back to Duval a little
okay.
bit.
Okay.
Yeah.
Tell me about your girlfriends that you used to hang out with in Duval.
Well, you know, I didn't have that many girlfriends. One of the girls, we weren't close in grade school because she lived down the river road, Jean Wallace.
Big Jim's daughter?
Big Jim and Helen. Helen was her mom. Jean was in my class at school. And,
Janice Ridge.
Janice Ridge was in my class. And Joanne Funk, Roy and Dorothy's Joanne, was in my class.
Who's now at Benton.
Benton. And Lynn Nelson was in my class. Her folks were, her mom was Rex and Ina Hendy's. Rex Hendy, yeah. Their daughter. Vivian was Lynn's mom. Her sister Lee was in Gary's class. And when we got into high school, the three of us sang trios quite a bit. And we just made up our own harmony, didn't ever write anything out. We just sang harmony because we could hear it in our heads and knew what to sing.
Incredible.
Yeah.
Yeah, they were pretty good.
So I have one sister, Vida, and my two brothers, and when my mom started having to work out to support the family, she never stopped until it was kind of retirement age. And so, because we were young when she started, my grandma would come and cook for us, cook dinner, and when I was about nine, I think, it seems like when I was about nine, I started doing family laundry. We had the washing machine downstairs and the laundry tubs, and we had clotheslines in the basement. We weren't that much older when we started kind of taking turns making dinner. So.
Because mom was working outside of Duval?
Yeah.
And so we're talking about commute time.
Yeah, part of the time she worked at, in Lake City at what used to be Baker's Restaurant and Chocolate Company. They made their own chocolates, hand dipped them all in the back, and yeah. And then she worked. Well, the building is still downtown Duval. What is it now? Used to be a restaurant, and in the front corner was a barbershop. And she worked in there for a number of years. Cooked and made the pies. And then she started working at the bank. She worked there until she retired.
So the restaurant, I'm assuming, was... I'm thinking of Alice's.
No, it's on the same side as Hicks's Market. On that across the street. It's not a very big building, but I'm sure it's still there.
Yeah.
There's a gap between that building and the next little building. Well, if you were looking at the old market, it would be this way.
Okay.
Kind of an empty space there and then that little building.
And you said that your mom went to work for the bank as well. Was that CFirst?
It was Washington State Bank.
In Duval.
I think she was an insurance underwriter. She became their underwriter. Yeah.
And
everybody kind of knew Alta because
yes.
She did new business at the bank, right? Yeah. She worked there when they had both robberies.
Really?
Yeah. It was very traumatic for her. She just knew she was afraid that if they took her picture, whoever robbed the bank would find her. And so it just made her kind of paranoid about who came up the driveway.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah.
Hello?
She worked with Dorothy Rorda.
Rorda
then, yeah. And Ina May
DeYoung.
She was a DeYoung. She married Floyd DeYoung. He was killed on a motorcycle accident on the river road in front of the school bus.
Really? I have never heard that story.
Yeah. You didn't wear a helmet. You didn't have to in those years. You hit a bump in the road.
So Floyd is Jerry and...
Walter is...
And Walt.
Is Walt's brother.
Okay.
Floyd was the older brother of Walter. Right?
Yeah, a couple of years anyway. Older.
Yeah.
Okay. And Walt, he's about your age though, isn't he?
Walt is my age.
Your age, yes.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah, there were seven of us in the
8th grade graduating class.
8th grade graduating class.
At Tolk.
Duval Elementary School.
In 8th grade, yeah. Well, the Ritzesenders, Catherine Ritzesender, Catherine and Sharon, I think I mentioned this to you before. They were so good at sports. They played on the boys' basketball team. I mean, the baseball team in grade school. They were better than some of the boys.
Don't put that in
there. They were. Yep.
Strong farm girls.
Yes.
Yep.
Yes, they were. Yep.
So what did you... What did you like about growing up in Duval?
We didn't really know anything about the big city because we never went there. You know? I was telling somebody the other day, when the flood water was up, I said to him, let's go out and look at the flood water. Because when we were growing up, and of course we lived on the side hill, everybody lived on the side hill. And we had our car was It would be probably a almost comparable size to a Suburban these days. It was a Chevy, what did you call it back then? It was...
Wagon?
Well, but it was bigger than a station wagon. You know, it was a bigger vehicle. My dad put the windows in the sides himself. Anyway, because it was higher off the ground, we'd go down and drive through the floodwater. It was safer than doing that in a car. But
yeah. So, yeah. The floods back then compared to the floods today.
Yes. She said, mentioned, let's go out and see the floodwater.
This last flood, yeah.
This last flood. So, okay. Well, the water had already started to recede, but...
Well, now, the week before we'd gone out, we went out two times.
We had two weekend floods. One was greater than the other.
And we went out both times. Well, our friend at church said the water came up some more, and I went, oh, well, we have a lady that just... Her house is kind of... maybe she'd just like to take a ride with us out to see the floodwater if the water's up more. So we went and got her and went out there and went,
it's
gone way down.
Yeah, I said, fiddle.
It was disappointing.
I can remember water over the road across the valley.
Across the Woodinville-Duval Highway.
Yeah. And what's this? The water's down. I was disappointed. Let's go home.
Well, we used to swim in the river. That's the only place we had to swim because it was wonderful sand, and you know, it kind of changed the shape of the banks, changed every year. But
so, where would your swim hole be? Because I know where ours was in my generation.
Well,
when you're coming across the river to Duval and look to the right, it's that first big bend on that side of the water.
Okay, so you're going to have to tell the story of how I know what it looked like when I was little. It was so overgrown, blackberry bushes, we had to beat our way, and now that's called McCormick Park. It has its own beauty, and everybody used that as a swim pool. What did it look like when you would want to go swimming there? Is it overgrown?
Well, it seemed like there was an easy path down there.
Oh, there
I've got a picture of his mom and my mom laying on a blanket on the sand. So it wasn't just kids, you know.
Uh-huh.
Grown-ups would go down there too. And then he and, I'm not sure, one of the boys decided they needed a diving board.
Boy,
so
I was pretty much the one self-appointed to dig into the bank. And I don't know where I got the board.
It was a nice big plank.
But it was usually a 2x12, 12 inches wide. And... So I anchored that thing in the bank, and it was the diving board for the summer. Partly because I like to dive, and so I guess I was just looking out for myself. So that's one thing that I treasure in my mind is the sandbar. We'd swim across the river. Back, of course. But another high point was Dick Herman. So do I need to identify?
Art and Letha Herman's son, Dick.
Okay. Art and Letha Herman, who lived on the corner right below the Woodinville-Duval Bridge.
Yes, correct.
So his son, Dick.
So Dick was the oldest, then Carol, and then Susie. Well, Dick was a year, maybe two years older than me, but through the church, we kind of connect.
But neither one had a brother, so it was...
So there was a bonding at that point, but the both of us got into making trucks. So he made trucks as well as I did. So that was another connecting. But being 2 years older than me, he got a car sooner. And so for 2 years, I rode around with him. And one thing that we both liked to do was just park in front of McDougal's. You know McDougal's Grocery?
I do, but the audience listening may not know what McDougal's is.
Well, McDougal's was on the riverside of the highway going through town.
So you're right across from the bank.
And across from the bank. And then Hicks's Market was on the other side of the street. And so...
Usually on Sundays.
Usually on Sunday, one of our pastimes was just to park in front of McDougal's Grocery and just watch the cars go by.
Stand still cruising.
Yeah. Let the cars come to us.
Do you remember what type of car Dick had?
I kind of think, it sticks in my mind that he kind of inherited the folks' old car. And it was a 37 Chev, maybe a four-door. Yeah.
And what other businesses were in Duval during your prime, when you were hanging out there?
Well, my dad served as a mechanic for a while for Clarence Westman, who...
Did he work for George Anderson?
No.
Was the building... Well,
maybe he did.
Kind of where the gas station is now?
Shell gas station is where Anderson's garage originated.
Yeah.
Okay.
That would be where...
I kind of think maybe my dad worked both places, both garages. My dad was a pretty good mechanic, self-taught.
Yeah.
And what about Hicks's store? Paula and Mom Velma.
I remember the little bitty post office in the back corner.
So take me into that shop. When you say the back corner, let's walk into Hicks's Grocery.
When you walk in the front door, be to the left and way in the back left corner. It was just a little space back there. That was the only post office there was. So Velma ran the post office. And she worked in the store some too, but one of the things I remember about the store is he would get big wheels of cheddar cheese. I mean, just awesome cheddar cheese. My mom always shopped there, and most of the people, I think, bought their groceries on credit. Then at the end of the month, they'd pay the bill. And she would decide how big a wedge of cheese she wanted him to cut off that for her. Because right behind the meat counter, he had a cooler, so he could keep things like that in the cooler. Oh, that's good. I stole bubble gum in the store one time.
Oh.
Did you get caught?
Oh.
I remember chewing it and hiding it at home in my bedroom. So it didn't pay. used to iron for Velma when I was in high school. I did her ironing. I remember timing myself on how long it took to iron one of Cliff's dress shirts.
Really?
Because that's all he wore in the store was dress shirts.
What about the shoe store? Do you remember Strand?
No.
Frank Strand? Fred?
Nope, I don't remember any shoe store.
How about a doctor or an attorney?
Dr. Yowell. His house was on Main Street, right near the church. Right about where the drugstore is.
Okay.
Kind of right in there.
Family practice?
Yes.
So took care of everybody?
Yes, he was an awesome doctor. And he died. No, he wasn't all that old a man. Just, I think, had a heart attack and died. Me and, well, I had my counsels out first. He had an office in his house and a bed, where you recovered for the afternoon.
He operated and removed tonsils out of his house?
He did. He had his office right there.
Yep. My tonsils came out there also.
And my brothers and my sister, all three had their tonsils out the same day. Right there in his office in his house.
So yep. Dr. Yowell would not only say, okay, you have the flu, I'm going to take care of you here, but if you need your tonsils, take it out. That was a general practice.
Yep, he was well respected. Oh, my goodness. He was.
Was he married?
Yes. But it was a long time before Duval ever got another doctor. And Dr. Fink came like one day a week from Redmond, I think it was Redmond, for several years. And then they were without a doctor, after that. They don't have a doctor there now, do they, in Duval?
Lots of doctor offices.
Really?
Evergreen has...
Oh, that's right. That's right. Because Dr. Milam works there.
Uh-huh.
Yes, that's right.
Yeah.
So the little library... We didn't ever borrow books from the library that I remember.
Well, my grandmother did.
Yep.
She was a reader.
So Rose, who probably is about 15, 20 years older than you, I would assume, Rose Nornberg.
Yes.
Was she the librarian back in...
I remember they had a civic club. Mm-hmm. Those were women. And I think his grandma belonged to the civic club.
Yes.
And the civic club, it's still going on in Duval, but there's about 9 or 10 women involved with it. What do you think the civic club looked like back then in Duval?
I'm not sure what they did.
I couldn't tell you anything.
If they supported a local project of some kind, I'm not sure, but I remember one time they did a fashion show, and the ladies wore wedding dresses for this style show. And one of the ladies borrowed his Grandma Weber's wedding dress, which was absolutely gorgeous. And she decided that she should have it cleaned before she gave it back. And it disintegrated in the cleaners. Just went to pieces. Yeah.
Oh, no.
Yeah.
But you'd asked about businesses, so I want to mention Jones Hardware.
Oh, yeah. Heard of that.
Yes.
Yeah.
had that when my mom was young, and he also was the choir director at the Methodist Church.
Really?
He was. My mom sang in the choir. And then their Florence was, must have been their daughter, right? Jack and Florence then had the store.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes.
And where was this hardware store? Could you tell me, like, what building or what side of the main street?
Well, on the same side as McDougal's and the library. So, library and McDougal's.
And the city hall, you know, and then there's the space that the street goes down there, and then that next building.
Mm-hmm.
Because there also was a, I think there used to kind of be a kind of an antique store in the basement of that building for a few years, because there's an entrance into the basement level on the side. But the size of that building is still like it was, I think, in the early days. It was a fabric shop for a while.
Yes. So that building now in 2020 houses Rustic Cabin Coffee, Flavor Bistro Restaurant.
Yes.
Used to be Alice's.
Used to be Alice's in the back.
On the river side.
Yes.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So that's where the hardware. And that's where in the late 70s and early 80s, Mr. Cox had the hardware store. And his son, Matt Higgins, now owns the hardware store, The True Value.
Oh, okay.
Oh, I wish I could remember his first name. But it was a hardware store for, if you were young, and I was young. It used to be the Coast to Coast when I was young. Do you remember that name?
Well, see, by then we lived away from there long enough that...
How old were you when you two went off to seminary? Or when you left Duval?
Well, I shouldn't say that, because after we got married, we lived in a mobile home park in North Seattle on about 125th, just off Aurora. And so our oldest son was born in June of 59, and in September we moved to Portland area.
Dan, do you have any, as a young kid and the newest resident of Duval?
So when you go back there now, what's like the biggest thing that pops out to you that has changed from when you guys were kids?
You know what I say? I wouldn't want to live here now.
And why would that be?
Just because it's so different. I don't know. It just... And you have to expect that of places.
Well,
you know,
yeah.
Over the years, every place changes. Our family home is gone. It's been taken down, and there are condos built right there in that corner. As you go up to the school, our house was on that corner, and those condos are just about top of the sidewalk.
Yes.
But it was just such a slow, easygoing pace, and it's just not like that now. I mean, you could just walk across the street about any time you wanted to, but now you got to wait for a break in the cars.
Yeah.
So it's just not that restful.
That connection with the city, like everybody knows everybody, and now it's not exactly like that anymore.
Oh, yeah.
Absolutely.
Yeah, you...
Behind our place was a school trail. So the kids that lived in Duval walked through the school trail, and our property bordered the school trail, and my aunt and uncle owned the property on the other side of the school trail.
Well, the school trail's probably still there, isn't it? I mean, kids are still walking to school, I'm sure.
Yes, and I walked that trail to school when I would, you know, Joanne Benton was my piano teacher, so I'd go from her house to school. And now it's a paved trail. And we do have a member of Duval Historical Society who has a house right on the edge of that trail. And you see, when I visit her, you see people using that trail all the time.
Yeah.
We used to play, because we had woods on part of our property. We would play in the woods. We had down trees that you'd sit on and bounce to heaven if you wanted. We had a secret candy cache we buried in the woods. So when we got together with our cousins, we'd go dig our can out so we could have some candy.
That you got on credit at Hicks' store?
Yeah, I don't know. I don't know, maybe. Well, I told you about that we had some pigs, and that one day our pigs got out. I mean, I looked out the school window, and there they went up the trail. My mom was at work. The teacher let us out of class, the whole class out, to chase our pigs to get back in the trail.
Yeah.
I think there was one other business.
Well, we had a dentist in town.
Emmer Lundstrom.
Metal
shed? Yeah.
That was in the school. That was in the back of the old school building. Our dentist lived right, his house was right down on Main Street. Let's see, I'm trying to think what it is now. Dr. Pfeffer was his name.
Yeah.
So it's a little bit after 7, and I would love to welcome Dan to ask another question and maybe wrap it up. And sounds like we're going to have to meet again, because there's just not enough time in the day. Think would be the best ending question.
Oh boy.
Ever.
Maybe not the best one, but what kind of stories did your parents tell you guys when you guys were kids?
Great question.
Yeah, too bad I don't have a good answer.
Were they usually stories of you know, don't do this, don't do that, or they're like stories about their personal experiences or just whatever, really.
Yeah. I don't know whether you... Well, I'm not sure I can answer that quite like I think you would like it to be answered. My dad was also got involved with some logging, and that was with his brother, Donovan Mitchell, and they... My Uncle Don had a logging operation out of Rockport, Washington. And Rockport is on the Skagit River, and the only way to get across the Skagit was on a ferry that operated, it was tethered to a cable from one side of the river to the other. And it went across the river by the operators of the ferry angling the ferry. So if this were the river, if you angled the ferry this way, why, it would tend to...
The current
would take the ferry across. And then to return, they would tip the ferry the other way to send it to the other side. And so loaded, the ferry would come against the bank, and then there was an apron on each end of the ferry that they would let down, and cars and logging trucks loaded, going one way, coming to Rockport, they were loaded. But even empty, the trucks were heavy, and so it would just hit. It would run aground. They'd let the apron down, and everything would leave the ferry. Then the other vehicles wanting to go to the other side would come on, and let's see how it worked. Oh, the last vehicle on the ferry would come and slam on its brakes to
give the ferry jar
the, the ferry off of the sand.
Oh my goodness.
And get it moving in the across the river.
That's my folks' wedding picture. My mom's folks, William and Pearl, lived down on the farm by the river.
Funk.
Yeah. And so their reception was on the farm. They got married in the Duval Church.
That's amazing.
And I have one of Gary's grandparents, but I can't find it.
So I'm going to put it in the video camera so we can... So this is Lorraine's mom and dad,
Hansel and Alta Weemska.
Dan had asked a question while you were out, and really great question. Do you want to repeat it? So,
what kind of stories did your parents tell you when you were children?
My dad made up the stories. The picture behind you is one that hung on their living room wall, and he named a family in that wagon train. And so the stories were episodes of them coming west on the wagon train. The family's name was Matthews. And he made up other stories. Stories about bears hibernating in the winter, and stories about mice and he made up stories from the time he was a kid. So, one of the storybooks I remember my mom telling about, and I don't really remember the stories, but it was called The Bears of Blue River. And I went on eBay, I don't know, a couple of years ago, and found that book. And we had stories about a little black boy. It was Little Brown Coco. I don't remember the company that put those books out, but you can still buy them on eBay.
Little brown cocoa.
Yeah. Yeah. Huh. So we, my dad taught us to sing when we were very young. Because there are the four of us. The first time we ever sang in public, in church, my youngest brother was almost four. So my other brother would have been five, my sister would have been six, and I would have been seven and a half. And we each sang a verse by ourselves in a church in Bremerton where my family lived. It was Easter time. So we sang together all our lives. I mean, we sang quite a lot in high school, but when we were younger and we had company come to the house, my dad would say, wait, before you go, the kids would love to sing for you. And I would go, inside, I would just but we did it anyway, you know. And we really didn't appreciate it until we got kind of high school age.
Do you still sing?
No, because my brothers have both had trouble with their throats. My one in particular, Stanley, lost his voice a number of years ago, and it just wouldn't come back. He had several throat surgeries, and finally, after a number of years, he got so he could sing. But my other brother really has sung more solos, and he said, just recently, he said, I just can't really sing anymore. It just doesn't come out good. But probably, I'm trying to think about the last time we might have sung. Might have been for my Aunt Nora's memorial service.
Aunt Nora's last name was?
Trim.
Trim.
Eldora Trim. Yeah. And when we were in high school, Joanne Benton and they usually played the piano for us. My grandma belonged to the Grange, so we sang for Grange things a number of times. Yeah. So.
Amazing.
And we certainly weren't professional. We never had any singing lessons or anything. Just learned it, yeah.
And you were good at it.
When we were young, my mom always sang alto in church. And I don't know, I was maybe 8 or 9 years old, and one day I just started to cry about that. And my poor mother, she can't sing anything but alto. It just really bothered me. In the 40s, it was pretty common, for ladies to have a fur coat for their winter coat. And it had nothing to do with whether you had money or not. It was because they were so warm. And my mom had a fur coat. Beaver fur, she would say. And so in the wintertime, kids would like to sit next to her so they could rub her sleeves. Yeah.
I remember my Aunt Kathleen Schaefer, when she passed, she had left in her will that you could take anything out of my closet. And I got her fur jacket. Huh. And you're right. That was normal, but to us, or we look at it, you have to be wealthy.
Uh-huh.
But you're just telling us now that it's because it was warm.
But my daughter told me an interesting thing about furs, because she had a really close lady friend who knew a lot of leadership people in Seattle. So she knew a lot of women that had fur coats. In the summertime, they kept them in cold storage. Because otherwise,
they'd shed,
the fur begins to shed. Yeah. And a lady gave me a fur piece for my daughter's a costume designer for Shortcrest High School. Mm-hmm.
she gets a lot of clothing pieces given to her. And this piece had the lady's name, you know, machine embroidered on the inside. And she said, oh, Mom, they all were like that. Because if you had your fur stored in a place where there were lots, then your piece was easily identified because it had your name in it. So, yeah.
Any other parting question?
You guys have a beautiful organ. Do you guys do you play?
Oh, it's our grandkids play with them. When my grandma had a pump organ when I was young, and I just thought that was just so cool. And so we got this one for nothing, and the kids usually.
It gets played often at Christmas time when we're all here and sing Christmas carols. Somebody in the group can play it. Well,
I can't get it.
She used to be able to play it
More fluently because of practice.
Yeah.
Yeah, I just don't sit down and fiddle with it. Yeah.
Yeah.
So.
Well, we really want to thank you.
Thank you.
This was. I love it. So I met these guys. I work at the. I volunteer at the cemetery, and they contacted me to buy a plot, and I met them up there, and they started. Oh, there's my. Pointing at different headstone, and I'm like, you're related to half a Duval. We have to interview you.
One of the things about being Duval being small growing up, people tended to watch out for other people's kids if they were doing right or not right. And one time, and of course the streets were gravel then, and one of the kids, not related to us, but he went scooting up the street and kind of skidding around, and my Uncle Roy saw him and called his dad and tattled on him. So.
Was it my dad?
No. I don't think so.
All right. Well, I'm going to turn this off.